Good afternoon. Still grateful and thankful for God's goodness unto me. I thought I was going to be able to do a more of a lesson style. Do a lesson this afternoon, but sometime the Lord, he don't let you do that. So I desire your prayers. I don't want to take long. I never do. But this time, I really want to be timely, so be praying for me about that. Pray against the enemy. Anytime you handle the word of God in spirit and in truth, being sincere, enemy wants to oppose it. And so I would not be surprised if he tried to show up and tried to hinder the word of God. So please be praying for us this afternoon. The title of this discourse, this thought, is setbacks. And when I wrote the word, the Lord told me to put parentheses around the word S. So not just setback, but setbacks, plural. Okay. And so a setback is defined as a reversal or check in progress, a delay, an obstacle or problem that makes a goal more difficult to achieve. And before I get too far on this, I want to give you something that the Lord gave me. And we'll talk a little bit more about what a setback is. But sometimes our setback are real. And then sometimes our setbacks are perceived. All right. And so in either situation, whether they are real or if they are perceived, they can be an obstacle to us. It can be a difficulty for us. And so a setback is a reversal or check in progress, a delay or an obstacle, a problem that makes the goal more achievable. So you have a goal, all right, and you're on your way to attaining that goal, and you've gained some ground, you've gained some momentum, and somewhere along the way, you've come up against something that is not only an obstacle, but in my mind, a setback is exactly what it says. It has knocked you back. You've lost momentum. You've lost ground. You've lost some type of a forward motion. And so it's important to understand that I'm not just talking about obstacles or problems, but I'm talking about the ones that can knock us off course, can cause us to lose momentum, to cause us to lose sight of the goal. These are the setbacks that I'm talking about. Now, in life, by the help of the Lord, we need to understand that we're going to have these types of things happen to us. But it's not about whether or not they're going to happen, because they are. It's not if they're going to happen, but more about when they're going to happen. And so what we need God to do is to help us to be able to deal with, well, this is the key, to be able to deal with these setbacks in a way that we don't lose sight of the goal, we don't lose momentum, we keep going forward by the grace and help of God, realizing that God knew about those setbacks before they happened. He's got an answer and a solution for them, and we can still be successful by the grace and help of God. Now, one more thing I want to say before I get into some scripture. Somebody go and find this for me, because I thought I might have written it down. Maybe I didn't. But I want you to go to where Brother Joseph is. I believe it's in Genesis. I want to say maybe chapter 32 or 37. And it's starting there. But anyway, before we get to that, I want to say this. When I'm talking about setbacks, I want you to understand a setback can also be something that, not just that God has allowed to come our way, but it can also be something that we have done, something that we have done that can cause us to have a setback. All right. Disobedience can cause us to have setbacks. All right. And so let's read and go down over to Joseph. Of course, we can't read all of this, but I want us to get a good understanding about Brother Joseph in Genesis. Is it 32 or 37? All right. In Genesis 37 and 1. All right. What does it say? All right. All right. All right.
Being 17 years old.
Yes.
All
right.
And the land was with the sons of
Bilhah.
And with the sons of
Zilpah.
His father's wife, Joseph, brought unto his father their evil report.
All right. Just pause there. Let's pause there. And because we're not going to be able to read all of this for the sake of time. But I want us to get an understanding. I want you to know who we're talking about. Jacob's his dad, right? What's the first setback that Joseph, first of all, was there a goal in mind, number one? Did God indicate to Joseph something about his life?
Yes.
All right, so God told Joseph, he basically showed him in dreams, and he indicated to him that he was going to be great, right? So the goal is greatness, right? The goal is greatness. God has something great for him to attain, and God has showed him something that he was going to have. And so again, if you're going to have a setback, you have to have the goal in mind, and then you have to have the individual who's supposed to be going towards that goal, and then the setbacks would be something that would come and knock you off that path or be a difficulty for you and set you back. So what's the first setback? Would you say, what is the first setback that Joseph dealt with? It's kind of a tricky question. His daddy, right? Do you know that when God has his hand and his stamp of approval upon you, when he's got greatness for you in your life, do you know that there will be people that love you for it, and there will be people that do not like you whatsoever for it? Okay, and so what happened was, I'm paraphrasing here for the sake of time, but Joseph's father saw the greatness in him, and so he had a special feeling towards his son, and he couldn't contain himself in the way that he dealt with his son, and it caused jealousy among the others. All right, and it did also do something else with Joseph. Joseph kind of had a big head, did he not? He had to go around talking about telling the dreams and how great he, you see what I'm saying? But Joseph kind of had a little big head, did he not? And so sometimes our setbacks, they look like something that could be good for us. Father's love is good, but if we overdo it as fathers, as parents, and we overdo it, sometimes we're setting them up for failure and for a setback, because now we got other people hating on them and upset at them. And I don't know if they would be that way anyway, but they might be. But we know for sure that had something to do with it. I ain't getting no coat. Where's my coat at, Daddy? My coat was just one color. You know, I'm sure they had a coat, but you understand. And so his first setback was how his daddy did him and how they responded to him. So we need to be careful and how we deal with others. And we need to understand that this could be harmful to this child. If I elevate this child above these other children, later on down the line, this could be difficulty. So that's the first setback. The second setback was what? What was it? It's very quiet in here, which is not customary to me. There's no wrong answer. What is it? Self?
I would think his self in that, like you said, he started speaking.
Yes, yes,
brother,
yes.
Which then caused the additional.
So what you're saying is he got in his own way. He got in his own way. You know that, do you know that in order for you to get lifted up and prideful and big-headed, two things have to happen at the same time? One of them has to be, somebody has to be singing your praises and pumping you up, and you got to be in agreement with that. You got to say, well, you know what? I am pretty awesome. Matter of fact, last I checked, I'm a lot better than a lot of these other folks, right? So both of those things have to happen, either because somebody can come to me and say, Brother Grimes, that message was awesome. You're the best, and I have to take that in and allow it to become something in my mind if I'm going to get big headed. But if I keep myself in the place where God wants me to be, then what I'll do is I'll humble myself and say it was of the Lord and the Lord did it and mean it from my heart. And Lord, I don't want any of this because I don't want to get it away from me. You see what I'm saying? All right, and so he was an obstacle to himself. He opposed himself. The third obstacle was what? The brothers, right? Brothers came on in hating on him, doing him bad, right? Put him down into the, and we can go on through Potiphar, on through the butler and the baker. The point is, he was on his way, and I want you to get a hold of this. Did God have to allow all those setbacks to occur? He could have made it smooth, right? When go ahead. He could have made it smooth. That wasn't the plan. All right, and so God has a plan, is what the brother is saying. He's saying that do you know that God's plan and setbacks, if we are in the will of God, coincide? Do you know that the problems that are in your life and the setbacks that are besetting you, God has a will and purpose in it, and he's trying to work with us? You know, that pride that his daddy put in him, that probably needed to come on down. He probably needed to get in a place where he was in a physical place that wasn't good. And so he could understand that, yes, you human too. Yes, even though God has blessed you, yes, you, and all of those things, you still need to be humble. And so I believe God was using those things to prepare him not only for the job that was ahead, but to humble him and allow him to be in a place where he'll be more effective. Brother Tabitha, excuse me. Brother Tabitha preached a great message this morning by the help of the Lord. And what we get from that is we need to understand that when God allows things in our lives, he's putting constraints on us. Joseph needed some constraint on him. He didn't need to be running around doing what he was doing. And so even though God still had greatness planned for him, Joseph needed to come to a place of humility. And so I want us to understand that God's boundaries and God's constraints are, number one, they are tailor-made for you and what your makeup is, what your difficulties may be. What we do sometimes is God puts these boundaries and these constraints on us, and we get right up against them and we push against those constraints. Okay? And what ends up happening is it makes our experience with Christ very, very difficult. What we need to do, and God is telling us this, he's helping us to understand something here. Find out what the boundaries are. And you'll find out that there's room within those boundaries. There's freedom within those boundaries. And the reason why he's allowing you to have those constraints is because if you don't, you're going to get yourself into trouble. Something is going to come in that has no business being in there. And so God's going to leave or you're going to leave. You understand? And so we have to understand that God put those constraints on us for a reason. And he also allows for the setbacks for a reason. He wants to get something over to us that sometimes is not very easy for us to get. He wants to get glory out of our lives. And so others have to see us go through some things. It says in the Bible, if you humble yourself, what's going to happen? You'll be exalted. But if you exalt yourself, you'll be abased. Even if God has greatness for you initially, that you have to understand that you have to go through the process like anybody else. Don't be discouraged by the setbacks. All right, may the Lord help us. All right, now he could allow a life of ease, a flowery beds of ease. He doesn't. He has reasons why. I'm going to talk to you about something that the Lord specifically gave me. There's other reasons, but he talked about this. Maybe for the sake of time, we'll talk about this. Maybe he'll give me something else later. Do you know that God wants resilient Christians? Come on. Talk to me. You need to be, y'all know what resilient means? Bounce back, right? You be flexible, be pliable, right? Resilient is defined as the ability to adapt well. Not just adapt, but adapt well in the face of adversity. Okay, so we're going to meet setbacks. We're going to meet adversity, all right? So in the face of adversity, trauma, or significant stress. If you think about yourself in terms of a child of God and being a soldier in his army, all right? If the soldier's in the army and they are met with a stubbed toe, can they go back home when they stub their toe? No. What if it start raining? What if it rains hard? Huh? You're just going to get wet, right? But the goal is still there, right? These are setbacks that we meet with. Maybe we go to battle and we take some losses. Do we quit there? Have you ever been yourself, and I don't want you to answer this out loud, but you had a battle and you took a loss. Is that time to quit? How are you going to be successful if you don't allow God through these setbacks to create a resilience in you and a determination in you that no matter what come or go, you're going to be successful by the help of the Lord? All right. And so God, what he wants to do is he wants to have Christians that are soldiers that endure hardness as a good soldier. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord. All right. So you might want to write that down and maybe ponder that. But there's going to be difficulty. There's going to be adversity. There's going to be things that knock us down, but not out. And what I want you to understand is God is using these things to create resilience in us. All right. May the Lord help us getting to where I need to be by the help of the Lord. You all keep praying for me. I'm going to give you an example. The natural will parallel and mimic the spiritual. Matter of fact, I think there's a relationship between the two. I think there's a relationship between the two. I believe that if you are, you can be unhealthy in your body and in your mind, and it will make you more susceptible to the enemy's attack. And so the enemy will work on those types of things. And so we need to do all that we can to be as healthy as we can by the help of the Lord, understanding that the spiritual always is more important than the physical. All right. But we need to be as healthy as we can physically, because if you're tired, if you're sleepy, if you're hungry, if you're sick, you're in a place of weakness. And so the enemy is going to notice that. He's the roaring lion, so he's going to notice that, and he's going to look for those people to attack. And so in the natural, I still have some poundage that need to come off, and I still need to be in a better health situation. I need to be in a better fitness situation. And how can I preach on and teach on modesty, temperance, and all of these different things when I personally have not partake? The husband is, I got to do it. All right. I got to be endeavoring to do it. Whatever my results are, that's between the Lord and me. But I got to be endeavoring to do those things by the help of the Lord. And I mean to do that. And so I have been doing that. So about 2 weeks ago, Lord help us. 2 weeks ago, I said, you know what? I'm going to stop throwing these workouts away, because I've been throwing these workouts away, y'all. Since February, I've been on a journey. I said, I'm going to get this weight down. I'm going to be in good shape. I'm going to be healthy and all those things. And I'll go to the gym and we'll work out hard. I like working out. It's fun to me. I don't always like it when it begins, but I love it when it's done, because you feel like you did something towards where you're going. And so 2 weeks ago, I said, I'm going to stop throwing these workouts away. I'm going to eat to support my health and fitness goals. I'm going to start doing that. So this is the first time that I recall ever doing this more than one day in a row. Okay. This is the truth. I'm just telling the truth now. They laugh because they know me. Anyway, I love food, and I still do. But I said, Lord, the spiritual mimics and parallels the natural. And so if I can have the resolve and the resilience and the determination, because when you first do it, oh, I'm about to do this thing. Don't you worry about it. Matter of fact, let me do some jumping jacks right now, some high knees, you know, something. You're all pumped up in the beginning. But then after you go for a while, you'll see what can happen. So I had went a week or so, maybe a little more, got on that scale and won the fight with the scale, whooped on that scale. That scale didn't want no problems with me. I won that fight that time. Got on the scale again, because I felt good about that. A few days later, won the fight again, y'all. I'm on a win streak two times in a row. I'm about a week and a half in, doing pretty good. Got on that scale a third time. What do you think happened? The scale hit me back. Now, wait a minute now, and I want you to dial in on this because this is important. I hadn't changed anything. I wasn't eating bad. I was continuing to exercise. I was prioritizing sleep and nutritional value in my food. I was doing all of that, but the scale told me, uh-uh. You see? Can it be that you're still doing all the things that you need to do, but the results that you're getting are not consistent with what the work you're putting in? Can that happen on your journey? That's what happened. And so in times past, that would be ice cream time and everything else time. Right. And then and what I would say is, since I'm already messed up, I may as well. And this is what we do. I want you to dial in, because it's funny, but it's true, because we do this spiritually, too. Well, since I already messed up, I may as well go on and jump off the cliff, get my money's worth on this deal. And then when it's time to repent, I'll get all the way back right and start over again. And so then we get stuck in that kind of mindset. And so that's the problem with that. We get stuck in that mindset, and that happens over and over and over again. Why? Because setbacks are going to happen even when we're doing what is right. Okay? So I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I want you to help me, but I'm not going to do that this time. And so by the grace and help of God, I'm still going. I don't know what that scale is going to say next time, but I know two things. I know that setbacks are going to happen, and I can't let that knock me off my goal. And I know number two, if I'll be consistent, sooner or later, I'm going to at least get closer to my goal, if not achieve that goal. All right, and so in the same way, in a spiritual sense, we've got to be resilient. We got to keep going on for the Lord. May the Lord help us. Now, I want to talk about, and I got two more things, and I'm going to sit down. All right, you be praying for me, and I want you to be encouraged this afternoon. This is what this is about, is encouragement. Two things. All right, I want to talk about Saul. We're not going to go there. When I reference stuff, if you don't know these stories by heart or real well, then I want to encourage you. Bible says, study to show yourself approved. Yeah. Workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't wait for the minister or the whoever it is to spoon feed you on Sunday only. Get your Bible out and read a synopsis of what it is, a summary. Get your Bible out and look up Saul and his disobedience and what happened. It'll take you to the King James Version, and then you can read it for yourself and meditate on it and learn about it, and you'll be better by it, all right? But don't expect the minister or the pastor to do it all because of two things. Number one, we ain't going to always be here. And number two, there's going to be things that you need that he can't give to you or she can't give to you in the time that you need it. But God is always there. Okay. Now, so we're going to talk about Saul. We ain't going to go to it. What's it in Kings? Y'all know. I'm going to give you a little layup there. It's in Kings. So what happened was God told Saul to do something. And Saul disobeyed. All right? Saul disobeyed. And that's all I want to say about that. I want you to get a hold of something. When we have setbacks, many times what can happen is that's when disobedience is presented to us. Okay? Lord, I've been doing what you told me to do. Lord, I've been working hard and being obedient, and things have been going great, and this has happened, Lord. How in the world, what is this doing here? Right? And so the enemy comes in. You see? Just a little disobedience, not much. Saul, he wasn't, you know what happened with Saul? I'm going to tell you what happened with him. Lord told him, don't take none of them back. Kill them all. Animals, all that stuff. I'm going to tell you what happened with Saul. He went over there, and this is what happened. When the first thing that he said he was going to bring back, he said, I'm just going to bring that, and that's it. That's all I'm going to bring back. I ain't bringing nothing else. These jewels will go to waste, let's be honest. Let's not let these jewels, I can take these jewels and sell them. I can melt them down, do something else different with them. And so that's what he did. Right? Right? And then on and on and on and on. And that's how disobedience is. We start off with a little bit of disobedience. The setback comes. Let's get the order right. First of all, we're doing well. We're on our way to our goal. Setback comes. We say, Lord, why is this? Or maybe a series of setbacks. All right? The Bible says we shall have tribulation or tribulations. What is a tribulation? How long is it? It's a trick question. Nobody knows how long it's going to be. How many tribulations is tribulations with an S? More than one at least, right? This is the Christian walk. All right? And so these setbacks that come through tribulation or trial or test or whatever can hinder us along the way. And now we're saying to God, this don't seem right. And then the enemy, so we're on our way. The setback comes, the tribulation, the trial, whatever. And so we get knocked off of it. The enemy comes in and he says, just a little disobedience is all you need. We'll just disobey, not too much. Just a little bit. Before you know it, it's one thing, two things, five things. He brought back the cattle. He brought back sheep. He brought back the king himself. The one that was over all that killing that was going on and them sacrifices and sacrificing them babies. Read it. You can find it. It's in there. That's what they were doing. That's why they had to be destroyed. You understand? But once you disobey a little bit, why not disobey a little bit more? You see what I'm saying? And so may the Lord help us. Don't let the setback be the catalyst for your disobedience. Yes. Lord, this is a setback. You're trying to create something in me. You want a resilient child of God. You want me to endure hardness as a good soldier. All right? You want me to endure to the end, because they that endure to the end, the same shall be saved, you see. And so that's what God wants for us. And so he allows these things. I want to encourage you that God has grace for you in those places. He has strength. He has help. And most importantly, he knew about the setback before it got to you. He allowed it to get to you. And now what are you going to do? And don't let the disobedience be the route that you take by the help of the Lord. May the Lord help us. Last thing I want to talk about, and this is going back to my issue with the scale. Okay. I learned something. The Lord taught me something. You know, the Bible says, acknowledge him in all your ways. He'll direct your path. And I have a message on any righteous cause. If, when God gives it to me, I'm gonna write it down and give it to you. Because any righteous cause, anything that is right, anything that God is in, you go back through the Bible, through the lives of any man, woman, girl, boy that has ever lived, God is going to support it. So any righteous cause, if it's right, God's going to be, is going to back it. And so what happened was, I believe this cause is a righteous cause. And so I said, Lord, let me acknowledge you in this cause. And what he taught me was, is what I say is, I'm going to try to eat good. That's what I say. And I would do that all the time. I'm going to try to eat good. I'm going to eat better. Those are things I say. And this applies to not just spiritual things, but physical things, but spiritual and vice versa. And the Lord taught me, do it by my will. Lord willing, I am going to do this, that, or the other. All right. And there's a scripture that's in here that talks about that. And as soon as I see it, I'm going to give you where it's at, because you got to have that one. We are to do by the grace of God. We are to do, Lord willing. Where's that scripture at? If the Lord be willing, we'll do this or that. If somebody find that before I find it. But the point is this. It changes the way that we think. When I say by the grace of God, I'm going to eat better, then I'm acknowledging God, I'm acknowledging His help and His ability to help me do that. When I say that I'm going to try to live right, when I say that I'm going to try to eat right, what I'm doing is I'm already conceding a little bit to failure, and the onus is on me. It's me. I'm the one that has to do it rather than me and God doing it together. All right? Are we clear on that? Y'all quiet on me. I want to make sure I'm clear here. There is a difference between saying I'm going to try to do something. I'll tell you what. Never have I ever said I'm going to try to play basketball. You know why? Because I believe I can do it. I've done it before, and I'm going to do it again. I believe. And so there's a different mindset there. Never ever, ever said I'm going to try to eat this peach cobbler. Never had a problem with eating it. It's going down. You understand? Ain't no problem. If I meet with some setbacks, I'm still going to eat that thing. That's the way it's been. You understand? And so the way that the mind works is we have to do things with the intent and the mind to do it and make no concession to failure. If you make confession to failure in the first place, it's going to be very difficult to get that thing done. And so if you say with intent, Lord, I'm going to live for you. Lord, I'm going to please you. Lord, I'm going to obey you. And Lord, by your grace, by your help, by your mercy, this is how I'm going to do this thing. Now you're starting to guarantee success. You are garnering success even before you start on the journey. All right? Lord, I'm going to please you today. I don't know what else I'm going to do today, but I'm going to please you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to be your child. And when the trial, the test come, Lord, I'm going to lean on you and I'm going to do right. If I fail, Lord, I ain't going to quit. I'm going to get back up, ask your forgiveness, and I'm going to keep going forward. Now we're in the positive. Now our hearts and our minds are in line with what God wants. And remember, any righteous cause, God is going to support. All right. And so I had to stop trying to do things. And I had to do things by the grace of God. Somebody got that scripture? James 4 and 15? Yeah. I knew y'all had it. Show offs. Yes? If the Lord will, we'll do this or that. And so what helps us in the journey and with our setbacks is we have to have a mindset of success. And I'm not talking about worldly success, but I'm talking about as a child of God, I have to believe I can do it. I have to involve God's help in the process and then at the end give Him the thanks and the praise that is due Him. All right. Sometimes when we have our setbacks, what we have done is we have already conceded to failure before we even started out. And God wants to help us with that. I thank you for your time. I thank you for your attention. I thank you for your prayers for me. My goal and my aim is to make heaven my home. I'm going to, by the help of the Lord, make heaven my home. And so you go with me. I will be praying for you. You pray for me. Thank you.